Today on the Wisdom Journey, we begin traveling through the book of Joshua. Joshua had an enormous task ahead of him, to lead Israel in taking possession of the promised land. But Joshua knew he served a great God who was going before him. Serving God faithfully is the key to true success. Joshua would prove to be a military genius, but more importantly, he would prove to be a man of God. This lesson is called Defining Success.
Now today we begin our journey through the book of Joshua. Joshua is the first of 12 books in the Old Testament that give us Israel's history, and it tells us how God directed and protected the Israelites, getting them out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Now, even though the Israelites were given the land of Canaan as the covenant promise from God, they still have to go in and they still have to conquer it. Those idolatrous nations that live there hate Yahweh. They hate the people of God, and they're not just going to roll over and say, well, you know, come on in. Now, you might actually have something Joshua said framed and hanging in your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, Joshua says that over in chapter 24, and he was about 100 years old when he said that. But that was the motto for his entire life. Beloved, when you get out of bed in the morning, is this already settled in your heart, that you and your house will serve the Lord? Well, if it is, every decision facing you today has already been settled. God is in charge of your day because God is in charge of you. Now, as chapter 1 opens, Joshua is commissioned by God to take the nation Israel into the promised land. God says to him here in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, four times here in chapter 1, you can underline God's words to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And they're repeated probably because Joshua is fearful. He's intimidated by this incredible assignment. He's not just that young spy returning with a positive report like he did 40 years earlier. Now, he's the commanding general, and he's probably wondering if the people are even going to follow him. Well, fortunately, here in verse 17, the people respond by saying, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Now, I don't find that reassuring at all, because they didn't obey Moses in all things, did they? They complained, they disobeyed Moses like a room full of three-year-olds. Well, and I think that's why the promise from God here in verse 5 is so meaningful. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It's as if God says to Joshua, look, the people you're leading are going to fail you, but I never will. See, that same promise has been given to you today, beloved. The Lord says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, Joshua is facing here seven enemy nations in the promised land. These nations are collectively referred to as the Canaanites. Tucked inside that term Canaanite, you have all of the other ites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Moabites, and all those other mosquito bites. They're going to try to suck the blood out of Israel from morning until night. You know, I'm often asked why God tells Israel to destroy these Canaanite nations, and is God being cruel to these people here? Well, to answer this, you got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, where Noah pronounces a curse on Canaan, who will go on to become the father of the Canaanites. This curse was prophetic because God knew what the Canaanites would become. 7 immoral, brutal, child-sacrificing, demon-worshipping warrior nations. So when Israel went in to claim their inheritance, they were essentially acting as the instrument of God's judgment. You know, people say to me today, well, the God of the Old Testament was cruel, but the God of the New Testament is kind. Well, first of all, they haven't read the New Testament, evidently, because it ends with a final judgment of every person who's ever lived and refused to follow God. And after that judgment, Revelation chapter 20 says they're cast into an eternal hell. That sounds like he judged them. Well, listen, what you're seeing here in the book of Joshua is God's judgment on sin. And it's a strong warning of that future final judgment on every person who has defied God and disobeyed his word. Now, if you'd just been told that you're about to go into a land where you've got 7 wicked nations waiting for you, wouldn't you want to know what your chances are? Well, God gives Joshua some reassurance here in verses 7 and 8, and he promises him that he will have success and that he will be prosperous. Now, success and prosperity are defined in the Word of God very differently than we usually define them. If someone is successful today, that means he's got more room in his garage than most people have in their homes, along with, you know, some fancy, impressive title at work. But when the Bible defines success, it has nothing to do with your paycheck. It has everything to do with your priorities. And let me tell you, I've met a lot of poor Christians in different parts of the world today, but in the eyes of God, they were successful and prosperous. Now, Joshua is told here to make 3 decisions that are going to bring him true success. And these same 3 decisions apply to you and me today. First, Joshua has to decide to obey God's word. God says to Joshua here in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." You know, Joshua had probably watched Moses writing out the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the Torah. Torah is the Hebrew word for teaching. These books are also called the Pentateuch. Pentateuch means 5 in the Greek language. Tukas means book. So the Pentateuch is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Now, keep in mind that when God tells Joshua here to obey this book, this is all Joshua has, the Pentateuch. He can't have devotions from the book of Psalms or Isaiah. He can't go over to the book of Romans or the Gospel of John. But the book that he has, the Bible he has, if you please, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, is enough to give him a successful life. Now, the second decision Joshua has to make is to communicate God's word. We read here in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." Now, this means it must always be on his lips. You see, it was the responsibility of Israel's leaders to read these 5 books to the nation every 7 years. Imagine sitting through that sermon. I mean, Joshua is to continue this practice, speaking the word of God. Beloved, do you want to know how to be successful in life? Well, how long does it take before your family, friends, classmates, or coworkers hear something from your mouth that communicates the truth of God's word? That is a successful person. Now, the third decision that leads to biblical success is to meditate on God's word. In verse 8, God tells Joshua to meditate on it day and night. The Hebrew word here for meditate means to murmur or to mutter, to ponder. It's like a cow out there in the pasture chewing its cud. We need to be mentally chewing on the Word of God throughout the day. That is true success. Obeying God's Word, communicating God's Word, and meditating on God's Word throughout the day. Let's decide to do that today. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That lesson was called Defining Success here on the Wisdom Journey. You know, our vision is to translate and record this content into the 100 most spoken languages of the world. If that were to happen, 85% of the world's population would have access to this teaching. That's an ambitious goal, and we need partners like you to make it possible. Learn how you can join us as a partner at wisdomonline.org.